Thanks for joining us. Today's sermon was a very special message from Pastor Jerry Smith, talking to us today about the importance of choosing love, keeping Jesus in our hearts, and how that relates to today, where we are now. We're truly blessed to have Jerry's wisdom and guidance as our congregation moves towards finding a permanent pastor, and we celebrate Jerry and his final sermon before his retirement. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now enjoy another great Sunday sermon about on being here, and we hope to see you soon.
The second scripture this morning is from Ephesians 3. Paul writes, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. To say that there were 1,000 things running through my head would be an understatement. So what I'd like to do, because part of this is going to be kind of commentary and kind of it's going to be reminiscence and part of it's going to be gospel, because that's what I do, okay? You might have captured a theme here in the church as one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. I will choose Christ. Pastors come and go. People in the church come and go. Churches come and go. But there's one thing that doesn't come and go, and that's Christ Jesus. So, as you go on, as we go on in our disparate ways, remember that whatever you do, you need to consider and consult the one who is the foundation. And you know, the choosing, there's that old hymn, once to every person in nation, every man in nation, and it says, you know, once you make this, it's not once, it's again and again. And that's what choosing Christ is. It's again and again. You see, Christ in Jesus is always there. But if you're anything like me, sometimes I kind of doze off. And so we need to recommit. We need to recommit, especially after there have been travails. We need to recommit when there have been joys. We need to recommit again and again. Because that's what's going to make this church strong. And that's what's going to make each of you strong. It's going to help you get through whatever you have to face, individually, as families, and as the church. Shifting gears. About the beginning of October, a year ago, October, when Shannon was leaving, talked to a few people, and I said, yeah, I'd help out through Christmas, you know, because I didn't want you guys to have supply preachers in November and December, and wanted to try to give some continuity. And somebody said, well, would you stay on and do the interim? And I said, no. I said, you know, I really think you need a trained interim to help you with a lot of the stuff that's happened and to work through it. And then a theophany, or an epiphany, I guess, more technically, led me to say, well, you know, if you really want to try to think about this, let's go for it. Let's do it. And the rest, as they say, is history. There's a country song that says, life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. And I think that's not correct if you take it in a standalone mode. But with the guidance and consultation of the one that I mentioned a minute ago, puts a whole different spin on it. Puts a whole different spin on it. The front of the bulletin today was a piece of original art that was designed by a friend for the front of my ordination bulletin, June 23rd, 1985, if you were interested. I said, Jack, I'd like something, you know, with the Christian symbols, communion, the cross, and people. I want people in it. And this is what he came up with. And yeah, I love the way he kind of put all that together. So I commend that to you. The stole that I'm wearing today was made by Cheryl, my dear wife, for my ordination. So it's you'll have to look at it up close when you see it, cross stitch. And it's got words back here. I put in the reflection, I don't know if you noticed the thing about a coda. A coda is a musical piece, or it can be something other than music, but it's a piece that comes after the kind of normal end of the piece of music, and it may be unrelated thematically, but its purpose is to finish and complete what has happened before. And that's the way I feel about my time here, at least for me. My ministry over the years was not all peaches and cream, as I have alluded to several times in sermons. There is no church and no pastor that doesn't have issues that come up that have to be dealt with and are dealt with in better or worse ways. And so that's the way it is. But, you know, when I came here, this church has been more supportive, more pleasant, how's that for a word, and more helpful than I think that any other place I've served. And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Ken asked me if I wanted an exit interview, and I said, no, I think I pretty much carry everything on my sleeve. I think I pretty much told everybody how much you mean to me, and I've told you how glad I am to have been here And I'm not going to do a lot of individual stuff because, you know, like the Academy Awards, it's either 30 minutes or you forget people. So I'm not going to do that. But it is a change. I came, as you know, to this later in life. I entered seminary the same time our oldest son entered high school. And I was ordained at the age of 41. And so it's been kind of short and everything. But I remember when I was looking for seminaries, we went to Lancaster Seminary, which is a UCC seminary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the president at the time, Jim Glass, had us in his office. The whole family was there. And after he got done playing with Jonathan and Jennifer over with the toys on the table in the corner of his office, he came over to Cheryl, and he put a hand on each shoulder, and he looked her in the eye, and he said, "You know, my dear, this is brunt of this is going to fall on you." And it has. But she's still here. And I love that. You are a good church. You are a church that deserves the finest leadership. And when you make this transition and then the next one, it's okay. You're going to make it good. You're going to do it because you've learned. And one of the things that we set out to do during this period is to try to come up with ways so that we can avoid things getting out of hand as they did before. And having just said I didn't want to mention anything in particular, the personnel committee has done a wonderful job in putting together a procedure and a process, and I hope that you will listen to them and let them help you and help each other, because that's the key to our community. I often said early on, because of my late start in this, that I was never going to retire, that someday I'd be up there preaching and say, "And finally," and no, I think I'm good. If I do go down, it'll just be, you know, stuff and not the big one. But it does, after having us, me mostly the one who's called, Cheryl, who was kind of brought along, the kids who didn't really have much to say about it, it has been life for us. And so it's kind of hard to think about not doing this anymore. You all have heard of Harry Chapin, I suspect. He is most famous for Cats in the Cradle and Taxi, but he wrote a lot of good stuff. And there's a song that he wrote that he sang every night at the end of his show. And it's not precisely, applicable. But here it is, and I was thinking I might try to sing it, but nah.
I think you were done with that.
I knew somebody was listening. I've sung it all tonight, almost every story that I know. And now when they turn out the spotlight, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. I'm so hoarse I can't hit the high notes. It's just a whisper when I'm low. But when you sing from the inside, you hope that something shows. The faces, they fade together, and the glory is gone so fast. And the story of every darkened stage is that the glory just does not last. Now, when you do your next history book, I will be proud to have my name in there, and it better be there. And I'd like to think that you know, my little time here has, it certainly has been a blessing to me. And if I were going into another ministry, I would say, you really helped me get ready for that. But, yeah, anyway. I don't know. There are too many things to think about, too many things to say. Christ is got to be at the center. Now, you know, we've used Christ here. Jesus, to me, I identify more with Jesus because I think he identified more with me. You know, the human part of it and all that, the exuberance sometimes and the hurting sometimes and the need to get away into the hills and just be quiet or pray. The loss of a dear loved one. It's all part of our lives, and it's been part of our life here together. And I know some folks are not happy, and I'm really torn by it. But I really need not to be here, you know, after this, because you know me too well, and I know you too well, and I don't want to be. And I'm weak, you know. I mean, I stick my nose in. I'll make comments. But I can't take a chance on having any negative impact on your relationship, first with Dave, and then with that wonderful pastor that you're going to call, hopefully, in not too many more months. And so, yeah, I'm sad, and it's. But I think it's the way to be. Even before I knew it was in the code of, Michael showed, gave me a copy of the code of ethics. And even if it wasn't in there, I had told the deacons when I first talked to them about this. I said, it's the right thing to do. I think it's the right thing to do. Won't mean I won't smile and say hi when I see you Stop and Shop or something. But I'm not going to be around here. So please try to understand that. And as you've understood so many other things that I've foisted upon you. As I say, there were just too many things floating around in my mind today. In closing, I'm going to use a cartoon. Calvin and Hobbes. Remember Calvin and Hobbes? There's a story behind this cartoon. This is a cartoon. It was the last Calvin and Hobbes daily cartoon. And it was published December 31st, 1995. And I know you can't see it, but I'll take it over across the way. And Calvin and Hobbes are there, and there's been a fresh snowfall. And Calvin says, "Wow, it really snowed last night. Isn't it wonderful?" That's because he didn't have to shovel it. "Everything familiar has disappeared," says Hobbes. "The world looks brand new. A new year, a fresh, clean start. It's like having a big white sheet of paper to draw on. A day full of possibilities. It's a magical world, Hobbes, old buddy." And the last, they're on a sled going down. He says, "Let's go exploring." Okay. I actually took this to an interview for a church that I ended up serving for a while. I said, "You have, with a new clergy, new pastor coming, you have that fresh snow feel to work with and to go down, and I have it too." I started a course, online course, at Trinity College the day before yesterday. So some kind of a philosophy course. And in February, I'm starting a course at the University of Notre Dame on the Quran, which I thought would be good to know after all these years. Anyway, there are certainly wonderful possibilities in front of all of us. But we have to keep our eyes not so much on the prize, but on the Christ, on the one who calls us, the one who stays with us, the one who was given to us so that we would know love.